Good morning. Welcome to the Wake Up Call. This is Tim and Julie Tennant coming to you from Birmingham, Alabama, and we are so happy to have this time with you to share from the Psalms. Today we are on Psalm 41, which is a really special psalm because this is a psalm that ends book one of the Psalter. You may not know, but the Psalms, even though we often refer to as one book with 150 Psalms, the Psalms act as a collection of five separate books, which are brought together. And if you have a Bible, then you get look at Psalm 41, you'll see it says, you know, the end of book one or the beginning of book two is Psalm 42, et cetera. And those books within the book of Psalms are often are articulated. And part of the reason for this is because the Jews understood the Psalms as the what they called the sung Torah. The Torah refers to the first five books of the Old Testament, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, and they believe, which of course contains the law of God, and they believe that the Psalms were the singing out of the law of God. So it was really important to them to have the Psalms in five books. And so today's Psalm is the conclusion of book number one. It opens with something we talked about earlier with Psalm 32, with how blessed. I mentioned to you, we all know, of course, that Jesus in the Beatitudes, he has that wonderful, and Sermon on the Mount, those nine blesseds in the Gospel of Matthew. But what you may not remember is that also in Luke 6, we have what's called the Sermon on the Plain, where Jesus gave another version of the Beatitudes. And that one really focused on the blessedness of the poor, blessed are those who hunger, blessed are those who are disenfranchised in various ways. And so in some ways, we always have said that these Beatitudes are drawn from all these Beatitudes or blessings in the Psalms. And this is one of them. Blessed are those who help the poor, who help the weak and the disenfranchised. That's exactly what Jesus is saying in Luke chapter 6. And he draws it from this Psalm. That's one thing. And this Psalm opens up with a blessed and it ends, as do, by the way, each of the books of the Psalms with a wonderful doxology. You know, blessed be the Lord God forever and ever. Amen and amen. It's a wonderful way to end the book. But the other part of the Psalm is the Psalm which is also drawn from the New Testament. That is the wound of betrayal. Now, we all understand it when enemies speak out against us or enemies stand in the way of righteousness. I mean, the world is full of endless wickedness. But when one of your closest friends betrays you, the wound cuts very, very deep indeed. And part of Jesus' own identification with human pain was experiencing betrayal. In the Garden of Gethsemane, we all know, Jesus was betrayed by Judas Iscariot, one of his own disciples. And Jesus himself identifies the language of Psalm 41 as pointing to and indeed anticipating his own betrayal. Psalm 41 says, look at verse 9, he says, even my close friend, whom I trusted, he who shared my bread, has lifted up his heel against me, end quote. At the Last Supper, Jesus said that his betrayal was won by one who was so close to him that it was to fulfill Scripture. He who shares my bread has lifted up his heel against me. That's in John 13, verse 18. So the Gospel of John points directly to this psalm, directly to this verse 9, and says, this was fulfilled in the betrayal of Jesus Christ. Now, you all know that when you have the communion or Eucharist at your services, that one of the things that happens in that is that the liturgy will quote from Paul's earliest liturgy in 1 Corinthians 11, which opens, the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and said, this is my body given for you. That very first phrase of the liturgy, on the night in which he was betrayed, has come into all of the liturgies around the world regarding the Eucharist. In other words, you don't ever remember the Lord's Supper and remember and enter into that final supper, that wonderful exchange that happens in the Lord's Supper, without remembering that it involved betrayal, because that is the deepest wound of all. So when Jesus declares that his body was given for us, it's a reference, of course, to the cross, but also to the whole of his incarnate life, which means given over fully to experiencing the depth of our lives, including all of its joys, laughter, pain, sorrow, and yes, even betrayal. So this is an affirmation of the substitutionary atonement. Of course, Christ took his place for us, but it's only possible that Christ died for us because he lived for us his whole life. He's standing with the human race. That's the good news. The second person of the Trinity, Jesus Christ, stepped into human history and became a man, and there's no compromise in that. Without sacrificing his deity, he fully embraced all that it means to be human. To use the language of Psalm 41 as it ends, "Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Amen and amen." I'm so thankful this psalm is here because it reminds us that Christ came to even touch us at that deepest point of betrayal.
Yeah, amen. I want to just say, as we look at the psalm, the progress, the journey of this psalm, how it opens, as Tim mentioned, with this blessed is the one, and it goes ahead to say what the Lord will do to bless that one. The Lord delivers and protects and preserves and saves and sustains him when he's sick. The Lord
lifts him up.
Lifts him up. So there's all of these promises at the beginning of this psalm, and then David goes into a reality that our lives don't always feel like they're living in that blessing. And so he continues with a very difficult description of people. And think about how Christ entered all this, as you were just saying, Tim. Jesus, it wasn't just the betrayal. Look at all the things that happened before the betrayal that David lists here. Everyone speaks ill of me. They slander me. They spread their lies. They plot and conspire and set their traps. All of this happened to Jesus too. So all of the disconnect that we may feel with things in our life that don't look like that blessed beginning of the psalm, Jesus took this journey. And then he gets, finally, after that list of all of these things, the setting of traps and conspiring and plotting, to the betrayal, which is kind of the lowest point. Even my friend has betrayed me. And then in verse 10, it turns and says, "But you, O Lord, raise me up, I pray, that I might rise and repay." Now, you know, David is praying this as, you know, the administrator of justice for the kingdom. But what we see with Jesus is that, having gone through the betrayal and the death, he is indeed the one who is raised up. He has borne all of the sin. And so he is the one who can actually be justified to be raised up and judge and repay those who have spurned his grace. And so ultimately, this whole psalm really does point to Jesus, to not only his betrayal, but his resurrection and his coming again to judge the earth. So it's an amazing journey that this psalm takes, from blessedness at the beginning to the full journey, and then praise at the end, as you said, to close out book one. The end of the book always has some kind of a benedictory kind doxology. Doxology. So verse 13, while being the final verse of the psalm, is also a doxological ending to book one, which we've incorporated into our sung version. So it's quite a journey to take. We're going to take it now with the tune of King's Fold, which is a folk song tune that we have used often before. It's a great tune for such a journey as this. So Psalm 41, to the King of tune of King's Fold.
How blessed is the one who loves the helpless and the weak. The Lord delivers and protects that one when troubles peak. The Lord preserves and saves his life and blesses in the land. He'll not surrender him to foes, but keep him in his hand. The Lord sustains him when he's ill and lifts him from his bed. The Lord his illness takes away by lifting up his head. I said, O Lord, have mercy on a sinner steeped in wrong. Hear me, I cry, for I have sinned against you all day long. My enemies about me say with malice ill intent,
When will he die? When will his name both perish and be spent? For everyone speaks ill of me and slanders in his heart. Then they go out and spread their lies, great evil they impart. My enemies conspire and plot and set their traps for me. They whisper evil plans for me as if I do not see. They say a vile disease has come and struck him down to die. His bed will be his earthly end right where he now does lie. Even my friend who shared my bread, in whom I put my trust, has lifted up his heel against me and scattered me with dust. But you, O Lord, have mercy now and raise me up, I pray, that I may rise and turn on them and all their sins repay. I know that you are pleased with me, for my foe is undone. In my integrity, let me into your presence come. Praise be to God, our covenant Lord, the God of Israel. Forever and forevermore, amen, amen, we'll tell.
I love that. What a great Wesleyan Indian, too, that God takes the sword out of our hand to ask that once that we want to repay evil, we want to do these things instead. It ends with his perfect love, his covenant love. May God put that love in our hearts as we look to him for his deliverance.
Amen. Blessings to you this day.
We hope that today's entry challenged and encouraged you. And thanks for listening to The Wake Up Call, powered by Seedbed. Be sure to share this with a friend. Leave us a rating and subscribe wherever you prefer to listen to podcasts. Find out more and join the movement by visiting our website at seedbed.com/wakeupcall.